this week on the Time Bat Show.
And everyone at work is also competing for the regular cream cheese because they're all like, I don't want butter almond fucking cream cheese.
Nobody wants that.
Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 116. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a lot to talk about this episode because we skipped last week.
Yeah, we did.
Because you were sick.
I was sick with either like a cold or the flu or something.
Something's going around. I was sick like 2 weeks ago. It's just that time of year. The seasons are changing. Blah, 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 blah. That's like the most small talky thing in the world.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, so how are you? Oh, you know, the seasons are changing. My allergies.
My body's just not used to the temperature changing, so it gets sick.
No, yeah. What's your go-to, like, small talk when someone, like, talks to you in the office? Because I'm not good at small talk. I'm terrible at it. But, like, you kind of have to have a go-to, you know?
I just usually say something about my day. And it's usually awkward, and then it ends immediately.
Because, like, a lot of people with me, they're like, oh, how are you doing? And, you know, I have to come up with something on the spot. I'm like, how am I doing? I don't know. I haven't thought about this before. And then, like, if I have allergies or something, I'm just like, oh, you know, the weather are just really getting to me. And then they're like, ha-ha. And I'm like, ha-ha. And then it's like, cool, that was one interaction.
Do you think there are people that you work with that think that you have, like, really severe allergies because of how often you talk about them?
Probably.
Like, if that's your go-to, and you're, like, every day, you're like, oh, my allergies, just, oh.
It's not my allergies, though. I always talk about the weather because I don't know what else to say. So, like, they'll be like, how are you doing? And I'll be like, oh, I'm really tired today. But probably because of the weather. Ha, ha, ha. Or, like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling great, but it's my allergies because of the weather. Ha, ha, ha. So it's like, are you obsessed with the weather or something? Like, what's going on with
like,
you?
Do you go home and just, like, keep track of all the graphs and charts and watch the Weather Channel?
No, I just don't have anything to talk about. Here's my problem, and we've talked about this on the show before, I feel like I need, like, a locked and loaded thing to say to people, because when someone, like, talks to me, I feel like I'm put on the spot. And yeah. I, like, want to, we've talked about this before, like, I want to leave the conversation as soon as possible. So I just, like, find something to talk about that's, like, benign that I won't have to talk about for very long. And it's just, like, the weather, LOL, goodbye, and then I leave. But other people can just produce things to talk about from the air, seemingly, you know what I mean? Like, you ask them how their day is, and they're like, oh, yesterday I was doing this and this and this, and I was thinking about this, and it's like, whoa, like, I thought this is a conversation about the weather for a second, but, you know.
Yeah, I think I can do that, and I do it sometimes, but then there's, like, an awkward moment where I've been talking for, like, 30 seconds, and they haven't said anything, and I'm wondering, like, oh, do they need to go? I should wrap this up.
I think about that, too. I'm very self-conscious.
Yeah.
And then I'll give people an out, and I'll be like, all right, well, great, that was great. Because you don't want to talk too long, because you don't want to keep them up.
Yeah, like my go-to conversation this week, and I talked about it at least twice, was the Oscars that I actually watched. But the problem with my perspective on the Oscars is I didn't watch a single one of the movies. So I just know, like, what happened during the awards ceremony.
No context for, like,
none. No, like, everything that I've said about the Oscars this week to people at work has just been, well, she seemed really nice. Like,
I haven't seen the movie, but it was great. That speech was great. Hello.
I think I said something along the lines of, oh, I see they're still making movies about British people. Like, there's like 5,000 Victorian movies. Like, oh, I guess in 2019,
we still like to watch
movies about that.
This is an interesting thing that I've considered a few times. We, like, as a society, like, really, like, hold certain eras in time on, like, a pedestal.
Yeah.
And we're, like, obsessed with, like, telling stories within those frameworks. One of them is the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
Another would be, like, World War II, World War I.
Yeah.
Would be another one.
1970s, people.
The 1970s is a huge one. The 1980s is a huge one too.
But yeah, we really, really dig that Victorian era. And there's like no other eras or cultures that we're really interested in.
We're kind of, sometimes we're interested in like the 16th century, you know, like with all the wars and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like the New World kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like that whole thing. We like that. Not as much as the Victorian era, but we like that for sure. But it's weird to me because the 50s, we like the 50s a lot too, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a whole, we have a whole culture surrounding like the 50s and how it's like this great decade.
Yeah, and how it was actually good. Like, was it?
I was like, was it?
I wasn't there.
We've been in like fake 50s land longer than the 50s lasted. You know what I mean? And that's super awkward to me too, because it's like, we put this, the 1950s on this like pedestal of like, oh, there's all these cool, you know, gadgets and people are owning homes and you got the white picket fence and, you know, ball games and barbecues and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And we like, that's like Americana. But like, we've had this idea of what the 50s were for longer than the 50s actually ever existed. So like, our thoughts on the 50s are more based on like the years after the 50s than they are actually based on like the decade itself.
Yeah, even stuff like the arts, like music and fashion. Even today, there's like techno 50s music. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
They like remix the doo-wop 50s music. And it's made it into this generation.
See,
somehow.
Now I'm intrigued. But like 20 years from now, we're still going to be talking about the 1950s. You know, it's still going to be like this you know, era where, you know, with this particular, you know, aesthetic or whatever. It's just, it's strange to me how we do that.
Yeah, how are we going to get out of that cycle? It's like the 50s happened. It was really cool for the people that were there. And they just brought their kids up saying, wow, it was so good in the 50s. Like, you guys just don't even know.
And now
so
the new generation is like, oh, yeah, it's like all Americana and cool. And it's like, was it, though? I don't even know. We've lost the... We've lost any context to this at all. We're just living out this imaginary... What we think it was like back then. And, you know, grafting our own, like... ideas on it, which is really weird.
I want to do something else. Like,
you're strange.
I'm bored.
It's super strange. It's weird.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's pretty much every decade. It's not just the 50s, but it really started in the 50s, right? Like, you got the 50s, you got the 60s, you got the 70s, all very, and you got the 80s. They're all very, like, we really have put, like, these very defined aesthetics on each of these decades. And it started with the 1950s. And we're kind of just reliving those in, like, weird ways forever and ever. It's like, you know, like, 100 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, oh, the 1960s were wild, you know?
Really? I'm not sure. I hope we don't.
I think we will. And, like, but when does that end? Does it roll over at some point, you know? Does it be like, okay, the 50s, that's too long ago. Now we're on the 90s now, you know? Like, does that ever happen? I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like when you hit the 90s, there's... When people say they like the 90s, it's usually kind of ironic. Like, oh, yeah, I love 90s music.
I like the 90s.
I mean...
I grew up in the 90s, though.
Yeah, so did I. But
I think, not, like, in a love way. Like a...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's different, though.
It is different, because we grew up in it. And we don't have... We're not looking at it like a decade we never lived it. We're not, like, fantasizing it, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, everything was so cool back then, but... It's probably just the same as it is now, just different. I don't know. It's weird. It's strange to me. But anyway, I don't remember how we got on the 50s tangent.
Neither do I.
60s tangent. We were talking about the weather, and somehow we got into this.
Did weathermen start in the 50s? I think they did.
Maybe
they did. When was the TV invented?
1940s or 50s, yeah. No, I think it was. I think it was the 40s.
It's somewhere around there. The weatherman started then.
How the hell did we start talking about this, though? We were talking about the weather. We're talking about my allergies. We're talking about how bad I am at making small talk. And now we're suddenly talking about the... Oh, we were at the Oscars and the Victorian thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Victorian. I remember.
How did you like the Oscars, though?
I enjoyed watching them. Yeah. They were fun. There was less advertisements than I expected somehow. Yeah, I don't know if
it wasn't so bad. Yeah. They were still really long. They were way too long, still, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't like Super Bowl levels, though.
No.
Didn't seem that way.
It was still long. So you really haven't seen any of those movies?
Not a single one.
Not a single one. That's very impressive, I have to say.
I mean, in a way, there are ones I'm interested in. I really wanted to see the Lady Gaga movie, but...
Star is Born.
It's just good. Never got around to it.
It's good. I liked it. It's got a lot of Lady Gaga singing. If you like Lady Gaga singing... You'll like a Star's. It's foreign. You're like, oh, yes, I do. Speaking of that, I don't want to go all pop culture-y on our podcast, but, you know, this happened, so we're talking about it. The performance she did with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that was really good.
But, yeah. So they're, obviously, you probably know, they're both in the movie. They're, like, leading actors or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, in the movie, they're, like, in love or whatever. So the performance they did in the Oscars, didn't it seem like they, like, tried to, like, really play up the whole...
The love thing? Yeah, right. I bought it, totally.
Right.
Like, that seemed real, didn't it?
It did. But then I read
I think she did better with Bradley Cooper than I could do with someone I actually loved. Like... It's crazy how good she is, isn't it? I couldn't do that.
Like, even someone you, like, loved a lot, like, the way they, like, look at each other, like, I couldn't pull that off.
I can't articulate it. I, like, do it like that.
She did better faking it than you would in real life.
She's amazing. Like,
she is good. It's too bad she didn't win actress, but she won best song, so there's that, at least. That deserved best song, though. Anyway, you should see A Star is Born. It's a good movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but...
I'll watch it. It's just not really a movie I want to watch by myself, so, like, that's I'm fair. Waiting.
Get somebody that you know will like it and watch it with them. Like, your sister or your cousin or somebody, you know, like, they'll
watch it. Yeah, I'm waiting for something like that.
They'll watch it with you. There'll be A Star is Born viewing night somewhere around your vicinity. You're going to go there, and you're going to watch A Star is Born. There you go. What else is going on?
We were talking about something I'm pretty passionate about.
Tell me, what's
during work hours today? You were you made a tweet,
and so, want to tell the story?
No, you tell it. It was your tweet. This is very like close to me though.
So, is it about the food thing? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure we're on the same page. So I went into work this morning, and on Thursdays they'll typically have bagels, which is a nice little bonus. You know, they'll be like, oh, it's bagel day. You get bagels or whatever. And I like bagel day. I don't get a bagel every day, but sometimes every Thursday, but sometimes I do. So today I was like, I'm in the mood for a bagel. I'm going to get a bagel. So I get a bagel. They don't have the best bagels. They're like C-grade bagels, you know?
Okay.
But a good cream cheese is a good cream. You know what I mean? Like, good cream cheese makes up for a bad bagel sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm getting the bagel. I put it in the toaster, heat it up a little bit. Take the bagel out. Go over to the table where the cream cheese usually is. And I see this one thing of cream cheese left. There's only one thing. And it's like, it has a really weird French name. Like, it's not really cream cheese. It's like some fake, weird cream cheese alternative. Like, Neuchâtel, but not Neuchâtel. You know what I'm talking about? It's like some other thing.
Yeah.
I don't taste it. Someone else is using it, and they're commenting on how weird this cream cheese is. And then they taste it, and they're like, ew, it's cottage cheese cream cheese. And I was like, what is that even about? Why even combine those two things? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I got, like, mad. I wasn't that mad. But I was disappointed because, like, I had to eat this bagel without cream cheese because I'm not eating cottage cheese. I'm not putting that on my bagel. That would make it worse, not better, you know? So I'm eating this, like, dry, cream cheeseless bagel, thinking about all the good cream cheese I could be putting on the bagel, you know? And then I think back to the other times we've had bagels at the office. And most of the time, you really have to compete for that regular cream cheese because they'll have, like, four kinds. They'll have some weird French one that's not really cream cheese. It's just, like, fake. It's just, like, other cheese spread, right?
Yeah.
You'll have regular cream cheese. Then you'll have, like, strawberry cream cheese, and you'll have, like, butter almond cream cheese or something, you know? And, like, you have to compete for the regular cream cheese, and everyone at work is also competing for the regular cream cheese because they're all like, I don't want butter almond fucking cream cheese.
Nobody wants that.
I don't want French cottage cheese. I just want regular cream cheese. So everyone's digging into the regular cream cheese. By the time you get to the regular cream cheese, there's like just a little bit left. So you got to like really scoop it out of the bottom. You know, maybe you have to substitute some strawberry cream cheese, but like you get an edge that doesn't have a lot of strawberry on it, you know. Put it on your bagel. And then, you know, you'd make do. But the thing about bagels is I've never wanted fruit cream cheese, ever.
No.
I've never wanted almond butter cream cheese or whatever the hell. Like, ever in my entire life. And even so, the thing about bagels is a lot of times bagels are savory. So, like, putting some sweet fruity thing on top of it, like, doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. You know, we have the same problem where I work, and it's worse. It's way worse where I work. So at the beginning of the year, there was like they had a special day where it was like strawberry day for everybody.
Okay.
And the people that set up the break room, they like went all out. They did all this really nice stuff. They got strawberry decorations, little cards.
Quick question. Why was it strawberry day?
I don't know. It was they wanted to make a theme like Under the Sea like yeah.
This is a weird theme, but all right.
I know. I think the plan was to have a different theme every week, but we're getting to that. The problem is I think after they spent all of their energy on this amazing strawberry day, and I don't really like strawberry, but I loved all the decorations and stuff.
Like
I thought
cool,
it was super cool. But they just stuck with strawberry day, like every Thursday, for the whole year. And now they take the same strawberry decorations and they put them in there every Thursday. And every Thursday they go and get bagels and they get an assortment of bagels. So you get like sesame bagels, plain bagels, wheat ones, Asiago cheese bagels.
Ooh, I love those. Yeah.
But they only get strawberry cream cheese.
Asiago with strawberry cream cheese would be awful. Oh,
it makes no sense.
Bad. Have you ever had one? Like with strawberry? I don't know if I would try.
I tried the edge and it just wasn't for me.
It's like, this is bad. The only bagel I would eat with strawberry cream cheese is a cinnamon raisin bagel.
Right.
That's it. Every other bagel, I want regular cream cheese. I don't know what the hell
is. Strawberry is way too sweet and they just get it every week and no one wants to say anything, I'm sure, because that would be rude. But like,
has anyone been like, where's the regular cream cheese?
It's like they only have strawberry. What is happening? It's
so
like
they
the
get
Twilight
all these bagels.
Zone.
So the bagels were, seems like they're an afterthought to the strawberry theme. Like, what else strawberry can we get? We can get strawberry cream cheese. Okay, well we need bagels now, right?
Yeah, the problem is I think they're just stuck in strawberry mode. They're like, everything else is strawberry. If we get chive or regular cream cheese, it's just not going to
It's not
jive.
Strawberry day anymore.
It's going to throw off the feng shui or whatever.
You know what you could do? You could be like, maybe every other Thursday should be chive day. Yeah. And they can get chive cream cheese and chive things. That would be terrible.
Anyway, that's been like every week this year.
Strawberry Day.
Strawberry Day.
Strawberry Day.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do they call it Strawberry Day? Like on the.
No, but I think it's implied.
It's implied. There's like a strawberry decoration.
Yeah.
You know, Strawberry Day, like, something about that whole concept really, like, speaks to me. Not like in a good way, but like in a. It's representative of my life.
I'm going to seem ungrateful, but I think the kind of person that's doing that is just thinking of themselves. They're like, I'm going to be super cool. I'm going to make a strawberry spread for everybody.
I love strawberries.
Take a picture of it, share it on my Instagram, and I don't care if anybody enjoys it.
And it's Strawberry Day, man. You got to go. You got to roll with it.
They don't think, like, why not just get plain bagels if you only have strawberry cream cheese? Like,
yeah. Or even sesame bagels wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. I don't know. Just not Asiago cheese, not onion bagels, not everything bagels. Like, I don't want to eat strawberry cream cheese with those bagels.
Yeah. There's some kind of weird disconnect going on.
Yeah. But do you eat a bagel at Strawberry Day anyway?
Sometimes I'll get one of the savory bagels and just toast it and eat it plain, like you did. But.
See, but it's not as good. It's like, what is this? This is not what I wanted. This is the problem is, okay, with Thursday Bagel Day, is I would rather go into work on Thursday, see no bagels, no cream cheese, and just be like, oh, I guess there's no bagels today. Go back to my desk, sit down, enjoy the rest of my day. Then go up there, see bagels, get excited, and then realize there's no cream cheese. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's preferable, or that's not preferable, because that way I'm disappointed. The other way, I'm not really disappointed. I'm disappointed for half a second, but then I'm like, whatever. But the way it is now, it's like I'm excited, I get my hopes up, and then they're crushed. They're crushed down.
You know? Yeah, like, I don't need a bagel. They're terrible for you. No. But, like, if there are bagels, I want one, even if there's no cream cheese. So right. It's like...
And then I'm disappointed when I eat one. I'm like, this isn't as good without cream cheese.
Yeah.
Freaking strawberry day. My whole life is strawberry day.
How do you mean?
I mean, like, everything I do, I, like, assume a good thing is going to happen or, like, some cool thing. And then it just doesn't line up completely correct. It's like, oh, we've got bagels, but we have no cream cheese. Like, that's my life, like, in a nutshell. Like, you got the one thing you need, but you're missing the other component that you also need.
Yeah.
It's my life. It's my life is strawberry day. I got you the bagels. Oh, but we don't have any cream cheese. Sorry. What are you going to do?
It's strawberry day every week. I swear, it like trips me out.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Maybe you should gently suggest to have another day. You know, maybe it could even be another fruit. You know,
and pumpkin just spice.
Nix the bagels, though. Like, yeah. The bagels are just annoying people because they're not going to eat the strawberry bagel. The strawberry cream cheese. I don't know. Maybe gently. Just be like, maybe we should have. Some other day, you could be like, if you really want bagels, you could be like, maybe we should have a cream cheese day.
The problem is there's always the chance that I'm just the weirdo, one that doesn't like strawberry day.
You can't really tell. And we're both the kind of people that we're not like, we don't want to start anything. You don't want to start a confrontation. So you kind of just quietly like, you know, sulk to yourself and be like, oh, this is not great, but, you know, maybe no one else is complaining, so. And I don't want to be the guy that complains, you know. But you're right, maybe everyone else is cool with strawberry day. But, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to say.
It is.
Strawberry day forever. We should do our first trivia, don't you think?
All right. Your first trivia category of the day is going to be music.
Ooh, I'm good at music. I don't need any lifelines for this. No, I'm just kidding. I'll do 50-50. I'll make it hard for myself.
Okay. I don't know if you're good at this kind of music.
Probably not. You probably chose a category that I don't know.
Yeah. Your first question is, what is Miley Cyrus's real name?
Hannah Montana, right?
That's not it.
It's not. I thought Hannah Montana was Miley Cyrus. Are you telling me she has a third name?
She does.
She's Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, and something else?
Yep.
I can't believe that. Okay.
Is it A, Miley Kim Stewart?
Okay.
Is it B, Miley Ursula Hazeldine?
Ooh, that's an ugly name.
Is it C, Miley Ray Hemsworth? Or is it D, Miley Earhart Jackson?
Earhart Jackson. What was the second one? It was really bad.
Ursula Hazeldine.
Oh, that's terrible. What was the first one?
Kim Stewart.
That sounds like a real name. Kim Stewart. Miley Kim Stewart. Ursula Hazeldine sounds like...
Miley Ursula... I mean...
Ursula Hazeldine sounds like a comic book villainess. I'm Ursula Hazeldine. She's like an evil, like... Orphan person, you know, like the lady that runs the orphanage.
Yeah, she has power over eels, I think.
Yes, like she's not in the water, but she has like an eel, like a pet eel that she can control. And she uses it to like whip the students when they're being bad. Yeah. That's stupid.
Oh, man.
I'm Ursula Hazeldine.
And her whole... I think her whole villain backstory is just that her name is so bad, she never had a chance.
People made fun of her when she was a kid. Like, Ursula, Ursula. And then she's like, that's it. When I grow up, I'm going to be a terrible person and be mean to everyone. It sounds like a Roald Dahl book villain. You know? The guy that did Charlie and Chocolate Factory or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that. His name.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I'm going to do Augie's by 50-50.
All right. Gosh, I want to make this funny, but like... All right.
It's either Ursula Hazeldine or Ursula Hazeldine. The third or fourth one was pretty funny, too.
Miley Cyrus's real name is either Miley Ray Hemsworth or Miley Earhart Jackson.
Oh, God, this is hard. So it's not Ursula Hazeldine?
No, I made that
you
up.
You made that up? Oh, that's an amazing name to make up. We have to come up with some more, not right now, but we're putting this in the lockbox, the Ursula Hazeldine, because it's such a great name.
Yeah.
Okay, so Earhart, what was it? Earhart.
Earhart Jackson.
Jackson. Which is a normal name except for the Earhart part. That's weird. But Amelia Earhart, you know, she could have been named after that. And then Hemsworth.
Yeah, Ray Hemsworth.
Ray, which is like Miley Ray Cyrus, but Miley Ray Hemsworth, which is another famous person's name, Hemsworth. But at the same time, that sounds a lot more normal than Earhart Jackson. But if I had to guess, Earhart Jackson... I don't know. Miley Jackson doesn't sound so bad. I don't know why she'd have to change her name if her name was Miley Jackson.
I think Cyrus sounds more marketable than either of those names.
Miley Cyrus. It does. It does. Yeah. Miley Earhart Jackson or Miley
Ray Hemsworth.
Ray Hemsworth. Okay. Okay. I got it. I got it. I think. I'm pretty sure Miley Cyrus's dad is named Billy Ray Cyrus. Like, he has a fake last name, too. And his middle name's Ray, I think. So maybe Miley Cyrus is named Miley Ray Hemsworth. So I'm going to go with Miley Ray Hemsworth, final answer.
You are correct.
Yes! Got it.
That was some good logic.
That was. Thank you. That's not that... that's not a bad name. Like, I don't know why they needed to change it to Cyrus, but whatever. It's fine. I prefer Ursula Hazeldine.
Me too. I wish that was her name.
Ursula Hazeldine.
I think it's a pretty name, but it would be
Is it a pretty name? Would you date someone named Ursula Hazeldine?
Miley Ursula Hazeldine.
No, just Ursula.
Just Ursula Hazeldine.
Miley Ursula Hazeldine isn't so bad because they can just drop the Ursula.
Honestly, she sounds really cool.
Ursula Hazeldine. So if you're in a bar and this girl walks over to you and introduces herself and you're like, hi, I'm blah blah blah, and she's like, hi, I'm Ursula Hazeldine, you would be like, alright, let's go on a date.
I would be fascinated. I don't know, I have weird taste, so that
you would go on a date with an evil orphanage director named Ursula Hazeldine.
Eel lady, yes.
You could show your eel collection at her apartment.
That sounds great.
This is like dream date material for you. Like,
it actually here's my
eel tank, and you're like, an eel tank? I'm in love with you, Ursula Hazeldine. This is my rare reptile collection.
You know. Like, in all honesty, with Ursula Hazeldine, I was trying to think of, like, a cool girl name that I would, like, maybe be interested in.
So, give me your perfect woman, like, Ursula Hazeldine-wise. You know what I'm talking about? Like, what attributes does Ursula Hazeldine have that you find attractive? You know what I mean? Not physically, I mean, like...
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, we're assuming she's good-looking. I am assuming she's tall. She sounds tall.
Yeah.
Isn't she, like, a slender... Carmen Sandiego kind of look.
I was imagining more like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Ursula's like a big witch, though.
She's cool, though.
You would date Ursula from The Little Mermaid? Of
course. You wouldn't date Ursula?
No!
She's cool.
Anyway, regardless of what she looks like, what are her, like, personality characteristics? And maybe her hobbies and stuff, you know what I mean?
Ursula Hazeldine. So I think
like make you attracted too.
I think there's parallels with Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Eels,
there.
The eel thing.
Yeah, she has pet. She loves eels. So maybe like a marine No, I don't.
That's too on the nose, I feel.
Too on the nose, yeah. I think orphanage directors is, like, pretty spot on.
That's like an evil profession, though.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Maybe she's good at it. She gets a lot of kids placed. But she's, like, really, really, you know, she's kind of mean. She has, like, a cold exterior, but she gets the job done, you know?
Yeah, but once you get to know her, though, once you get to know her, she's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool, yeah. But what else? Like, that? Is that it?
I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine, like, a perfect person, honestly.
No, I'm not a perfect person. Just somebody you'd be interested in. They have eels. They're an orphanage director. You know, what else do they like to do in their spare time?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. I would be better at creating the perfect villain, Ursula Hazeldine.
I think that's the same person as... I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Ursula Hazeldine, the villain, though, is probably like an environmental terrorist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, she uses her eels to like shut down whaling boats or something. She has maybe a mind link with them. She has like telepathic powers.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And she uses them to like scare like. Big business moguls like she has
oil companies.
Yeah, yeah, oil companies especially. She like scares them with her eels.
With her eels,
people like, will think that their oil drilling sites are haunted because they've got like crazy eel infestations.
Ghost eels.
Yeah.
This sounds like more of a hero than a villain to me. No, I'm just kidding. She is an environmental terrorist. Don't terrorize that stuff.
Yeah, maybe I was, like, kind of selling her as kind of a good guy a little bit.
See, this sounds like the woman you would be dating. Still.
Totally, yeah.
Like, still, at this point, like, we haven't really gotten past the point where it's like, oh, she's evil. Like, she's an environmental terrorist. She's really cool, and she, like, makes eels do shit.
Here's her problem. She doesn't know where to draw the line.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't have, like, she has a compass, a moral compass, but it's like, she goes too far with it.
Yeah, she doesn't know when to say, whoa,
that's too much.
Like, yeah, I shouldn't, like, kill people on the oil platform.
See, that's why she needs a good partner to, like, have a balance, right? So she's like the pie in the sky, you know, wants everything. And you are, like, the sad, lonely realist. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you can balance each other's personalities out that way.
Yeah.
You know? No offense or anything.
None taken.
Oh, there's this quote that I forgot to say, but we were talking about this on Twitter like a week ago, and we were talking. How did we talk? How did we start talking about this?
I think you were talking about like wasting time finding quick ways to do things.
Yes, right? I was talking about I know. I love how you're on the exact same page as me. Yeah, I was talking about how it frequently takes me longer to do things because I'm like, oh, there needs to be a better way to do this. And I spend too much time finding a better way when I just could do it normally. But you were talking about how when you were a teenager, you were looking up what was it? I forget what it was.
There was a video on the internet when we were like teenagers.
15 years ago.
Yeah, it was of these Japanese people on Japanese TV, like folding shirts really fast in like some kind of crazy ninja way.
Yes.
And I was, like, taken by this. I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. I didn't even fold my clothes. I hang my clothes up.
But you didn't like, even, like, need to know how to do this.
No.
But you really wanted to.
But I really wanted to learn so that one day, you know, in the event that I was around some people folding clothes, I
could right, because like, that happens all the time.
Check this out.
And then I made the comment that your whole life is you trying to get really good at something that you could show off at like a bar, like a bar trick. But like you'll never actually have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, because everything that I like to learn is just not practical and
yes.
Like too weird to use.
Oh, that's great. I think this is a good segue into our listener questions. Because I feel like some of them are similarly topicked, and maybe we could do one right now and then we can get to the rest later, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it. Let's do one of them. There's one really fun one. that involves, like, creating a character for each other, I want to say.
Okay.
And I'm feeling inspired right now because we're talking about your, weird shirt folding mood.
Do you want? Do you have the question? Do you want me to say it?
Do you have it? I'm sorry. I can
I've got it.
Okay.
So these all our questions today are from Manasai or Manasi on Twitter. I don't.
Thank you.
Thank you. They're really cool questions.
Our biggest fan, maybe.
This first question is: make fake lives for each other and do a bit in accents for each fake life.
Okay, so I'm interpreting this as like what your life would be if like you had everything you not everything you wanted, but like the person you would love to be if you were like
okay,
you know what I'm talking about?
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I already know exactly who you would be. I have a fictional character I can point to and be like, this is who you would try to be. Do you know who I'm about to say?
No, I don't.
You don't? Really?
I have candidates of who it could be.
You have candidates. I don't. You've wanted to be not this character. You haven't wanted to be this character, but you wanted to be like this character ever since I knew you. And that character is Spike from Cowboy Bebop.
All right, you got it.
Did I get it? Is that the one? And the reason... Oh, go ahead.
That's the basic archetype, yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is because Spike is good at, like, everything. Well, not everything, but, like, a few things really well. And they're not super useful, but, like, he finds the time to be able to do them. Like, he's really good at karate. But most of the time, you don't need that ever. But, like, he finds time to do that. He's really good at piloting. He's also really good at, like, smooth talking. But, like, he doesn't really... Like, in normal life, you don't need that. But in the show, in Cowboy Bebop, he needs it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has all these weird quirks that he has. And he's very nonchalant about all of it. And he's like, I'm good at stuff, but I don't care about anything. You know?
Yeah, he never brags. He just kind of does.
He's just good at everything.
Yeah.
Not everything, but the few specific things.
He's actually bad at most things.
Right. He is. But the things he's good at, he's like amazing at.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I feel like that's, you are, like, a person who, like, I don't care if I'm bad at, like, most things. But if I'm really good at, like, three or four things, I want to be able to use those, like, a lot. And, like, do it in a cool way where people are like, whoa, he's really good at that thing that he just did. And he'll, like, accidentally win at, like, poker and stuff. Remember that episode? Like,
yeah,
he's, like, magically good at poker for some reason. And that's what I don't know. That's like who I imagine. Like you're like, I don't know. Like
that's actually perfect. It's even the perfect environment because I'm a space guy. That's my thing.
Yeah,
I love space, and it's like because Spike is only good at these three or four different things:
fighting, flying, gambling. Poker.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's it. Losing money, getting into accidents.
And that's it. That's like the three things he's good at.
Yeah, he has like one friend, and that's it.
And his one friend is like, kind of like, I don't know. Like, I guess it's Jet, right? His one friend.
Yeah, it's Jet Black, yeah.
And Jet is like the best character.
In the whole show.
He's like old, and like, he like doesn't care about anything anymore, and he thinks everything is bad all the time. But he tries to like tap into his inner chi or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he's a cooler character than Spike. But yeah, I wish I was Spike.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware. I'm aware of this. Only a Spike would want to learn how to fold clothes really quickly. You know.
Yeah.
That's something that he would know how to do, though. Right?
Of course. Yeah.
He would know that. Like, oh, how'd you do that? Oh, I learned how to fold clothes really quickly one day because I wanted to do it. And so, like, yeah. Oh, okay. And so my impression, I'm not going to do an impression, but you would have like a deeper, not a deep voice, but like a, hey, I'm cool. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like, I don't know. I didn't mean to go into it too deep to be like, oh, you wish you were as cool as Spike. I was just, this is a character I've.
No, that's actually flattering.
Immediately was drawn to.
Because that's a character that I really think is one of the coolest characters, like, ever.
That's really cool.
So to be, like, for that to be my character.
You have a lot of qualities that are similar. You're not as good at everything as he is.
Of course not. He's fantasy.
But, like, you could, like, I feel like your goal in a lot of ways is to, like, approach things of like, all right, I'm going to be good at this in a similar way that he approaches being good at things. Like, this is useless, but I want to be good at it because it's important. It's part of my personality, you know?
And I think his philosophy in life is really similar to mine. It's kind of just like, you don't want to fight too hard for anything, but you want to do really well with what comes to you.
Yeah. Go with the flow. Like,
go with the flow.
When you're dealt a hand, you know, use it wisely or whatever.
Play your cards the best you can. He'd say that. I know he would.
I love it. I love it.
Do you want me to do you?
Yeah, really quick. Really quick.
Okay.
Well, not really quick. You can take
I'm not going to do it really quick.
You can take as long as you need.
Okay. So your ideal
character. You don't have to use a fictional character, but you can if it's easier.
No, I already have one. It's Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because your constant fixation in life is to just solve a great mystery.
True. That is true. And I want to know about it. And I want to be the expert on it.
Yeah, you want when the German government or whatever government or whatever, they don't want to go to a normal academic person. They want to go to the Indiana Jones and that's you.
They need the foremost expert on something.
Yeah.
I want that to be me.
You're the expert because you've spent the most time underneath the ground. In and around all the occult and all the freaking cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I haven't done any of that stuff, and I want to. But, there's not really any way to do that in this
day that's,
age.
Impossible.
But I wish I could. I do want to be the expert of things. It's interesting you bring up Indiana Jones, because the archetype is similar. Whenever you see a movie that's, the government needs, some foremost expert in something to, to go on a mission to save the world or whatever...
Yeah.
Which is basically the plot of Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They're like, you know, Indiana Jones, you know more about the Ark of the Covenant than anyone in the world. Go help save it from the Nazis. Which is the plot of a million sci-fi movies, too, right? It's like, you're the expert of this weird thing. Go save the world. You know what I mean? I want to be the expert of something to a degree where the government can Indiana Jones me. You know, they can be they can have a helicopter. Have you seen Arrival?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay, so there's a part in the movie where Amy Adams is sleeping, and a helicopter lands in her yard, and a government man wakes her up, and he's like, we need you for a top secret mission. That's what I want.
It's everything you want, yeah. And you know, maybe less so Indiana Jones, maybe Sherlock Holmes, actually.
I think personality-wise, it's closer to Indiana Jones. But yeah, I see what you mean.
But subject matter, I feel you're more into Sherlock Holmesy kind of stuff, murders. Yeah,
That's fair. Yeah. I do like murder stuff. I just like mysteries, you know? And I like being expert in things. And the thing is, I'm not really an expert in anything. But I want to be. I feel the world is... We've passed the point of being in it. Of having any use for experts.
Yeah, do we need experts anymore?
You know what I mean?
Are they for?
What are they we have the internet, we have information everywhere. Does anyone really need to be an expert at anything anymore? That's a sad thought.
That's a sad thought, but yeah.
That is sad.
We're on the same page.
Spike. If we were a Cowboy Bebop characters, I would be Jet. And
you'd Jet,
be
yeah. But that's even very close to, our relationship.
It is, though. Because I'm, the more sad, realist one.
You're also a lot more grounded and more, I don't know, you kind of make stuff work, mostly.
But, I don't want to do it. I'm this is stupid. I don't want, it shouldn't be this way.
You have to pick up for me a lot. Mm-hmm. And you have to, hold down the fort. Mm-hmm. But occasionally I'll do something really good.
Right. And then it'll be whoa, wow, how did you do that, Spike? And Spike's just I'm good. And then it'll eat a hard-boiled egg or whatever the hell it is. The shooty fingers, yes. Or the way he presses all the keys coolly in the aircraft, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to do another trivia?
Have you ever driven with me, by the way? I don't know if you have.
I think once. I have.
The way I drive looks exactly the way Spike drives.
Did you learn it from Cowboy Bebop?
You know I drive a stick shift, and that's how I do it. Everything is... It's constant motions.
I love how I've tapped into some, like, innate thing of your...
No, it's, like, actually being really deep. Because the way I drive my car, I've driven with people before, and I try not to. I make people nervous because I'm constantly playing with the shifter.
You're flicking it all over the place because it's cooler that way.
Because it's cool.
Like, look how cool I am. I love how you've based part of your personality. Not really, but in a way.
In a way, yeah.
Let's get into another trivia.
All right, trivia question number two. Your second question is buildings, I guess.
Yeah, I love buildings. Okay.
What is your lifeline that you would like to use for this question?
I'll do Monty Hall.
Okay. This question is, the re-diffusion house in the Republic of Malta cannot be used for what?
The re-diffusion house.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
It can't be used for A, Quidditch. B, military training. C, fishing. Or D, immoral activities.
Quidditch, fishing, immoral activities, and what was the other one?
Military training.
Military training. Well, Quidditch is fictional, so I feel like they wouldn't put that into the law, although that's really silly.
They didn't have like a Quidditch team at your college? They had one.
No, they didn't. Did they really?
Yeah, they play Quidditch is real. They play
it. What? How?
They ride around on a fake broom and they,
no, they don't.
Throw yeah, they do.
It's You're real. Lying to me.
I'm not lying.
Are you serious? Do they like hold the broom and run around on their feet?
I think they do. But
why
you can play
would you
it.
Do that?
It's I don't know. I wouldn't.
Have you ever been to the Quidditch match?
No.
Okay, what I don't understand about the Quidditch thing, though, is there's that thing that flies around, like the stitch or the snitch or something. Yeah. And whoever catches that just, like, wins the whole game, right?
Yeah.
So is that in fake Quidditch?
I don't know.
There's, like, a man running around.
I think that's how it works. He's like, can't catch me.
He's, like, really slippery. He's all greased up. We have to tackle him to the ground.
Oh, that's hilarious. I would watch that. Just a greased up man running around and they gotta catch him.
They'll call it like, the sport would be called American Quidditch. Because Quidditch is British. American Quidditch is like, same thing, just no brooms and a greased man.
They paint him gold.
Yes. I like how we're thinking the same thing. Yeah, it's gold paint. He's in like a bodysuit.
Yeah.
You know? Painted gold. Okay, I'm going to use Monty Hall. I'm going to lock in Quidditch because I don't think it's Quidditch.
It is either A, Quidditch, or D, immoral activities.
Damn, that's the one I didn't think it was. I thought it was military training for sure. Well, since I don't think Quidditch isn't real, and I mean, I guess you say it is, but do they I mean, I don't think they played in Malta. Maybe they do, but I don't know. I don't think it's real enough to, like, be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to let you do that. Immoral activity sounds right, because it could be, like, a religious place, so they'd be like, oh, we don't want you, like, gambling here or anything. So I'm going to go with moral activity's final answer.
That is correct.
Yes. So what is this place? I don't even know what it is.
It's like a... Wikipedia described it as like a modernist art building or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I'm going to look up the real Quidditch sports.
Yeah, look that up real quick. I want your reaction to this.
Just really fast. You want me to do it?
Sure, do it.
Should I type in real Quidditch?
Yeah, just look Quidditch. At pictures. See if there's a gold man.
There's a video. At UCLA, they play it, apparently. Okay, so far it looks like kickball.
Oh, they kick it.
This is just kickball. This is like kickball and rugby. This is stupid. They didn't even make... They're just playing kickball and rugby at the same time.
I thought for sure they would at least have like brooms they rode around on.
Oh, there's one guy with a fake broom. This is stupid.
Can you imagine being the one guy with your broom?
I don't see any golden man that they're trying to tackle to the ground. Oh, wait. Yes, there is. There is a man. There is a gold man. He's
Are
not
you serious?
Greasy, but he's there. He's there. They're gold and they run around.
I don't I really just made that up.
I don't know how the, like, scoring works with that, though. Maybe you have to, like, tackle them to the ground for a certain amount of time. And then, like, really good at getting out of it or something, you know?
It's like a rodeo. You have to hog time or something.
Yeah, exactly. Although, I think it'd be more funny if they were greasy.
Yeah.
It's just me, though. We should do some more listener questions.
Okay, second listener question. Describe your Chipotle order.
Ooh, this is a good one. My Chipotle order, I always get the same thing, is barbacoa burrito with black beans, white rice, cheese, and sour cream. I do cheese and sour cream because I'm that kind of guy. And they always give me not enough barbacoa, which is the double-edged sword of barbacoa because it's the best meat, but it's like the shredded, right? The shredded beef or whatever. So, like, sometimes they'll get a scoop that's smaller because they use the tongs.
Right.
Sometimes they just get screwed out of good barbacoa. Whereas with the chicken and steak, they use the spoon. So it's easier to be like, I know exactly how much spoon to give you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the disadvantage of that. What's your Chipotle order?
I don't eat at Chipotle very often. There's not one near where I work. But when I go, it's usually a burrito bowl with steak and everything. Bowl. I'm also a sour cream and cheese and man. Cheese.
You're not supposed to do that, but I do it. Because they always go, do you want sour cream or cheese? And I'm like, yes and yes. Like, they obviously don't want you to get both, but I do it anyway. They don't charge me for both. But there you go. There's our Chipotle orders.
That if it's free, put it on there. Yeah.
Exactly. That's my philosophy in life. If it's free, put it on there. That sounds not perfect.
Oh, maybe not everything free.
But. If it's free, put it on there.
All right, next listener question. If we each started a cult, what would you be followers of? If you started a cult, what would you follow?
We've talked about starting cults before. Yeah. Because, I mean, in another life, I would have started. If I was a very outgoing person, I would 100% be a cult leader.
Yeah.
So... my cult would be, would I actually believe this or would it just be fake?
Either way.
I think my cult would be around, like, astronomy stuff, like weird astronomy stuff, where it's like, not like astrology, I mean, kind of astrology, right? But like some weird, like, numerical astronomy thing where it's like, when these celestial bodies are at this angle, like, some weird feng shui thing will happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like astronomy patterns, like planets in the sky and stuff.
Yes, so kind of astrology.
Do you do less, like crazy rituals for like full moons and stuff?
Like every time there's a full moon or a total eclipse, we'd all meet and we'd do some like ritual where we're like reading from this book that I wrote.
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of like weird, it's a bunch of weird poetry with like numbers that you just read off. And it's supposed to give you energy or something.
You're like basically Aleister Crowley.
Yes.
Like you're the same person. Yes,
that's what I would do. Because it would like tap into other dimensions and shit. And I would believe we could communicate with other dimensions via the stars. Mm-hmm. Like other planes and stuff, you know what I mean? Like there's probably demons there or whatever. But like when the moon is aligned like this, you read this incantation and then you're communicating with the beyond, you know.
How do you get your people to follow you? Do you have like do you rely on your charisma? Do you give them drugs?
I'd probably write a book first.
Okay.
Right? And then I'd hold a convention that would be pretty small, but it would have some really good drugs. And then those people would tell their friends next time I was in town, you gotta come to this weirdo convention. And then you just keep doing that. It would take a while, but you'd get a following eventually. And then the second part, step two, is to get on public access television somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what you're saying about the book you're writing, where you have to make it vague enough, but also based kind of on real patterns, where I think that attracts a special kind of person.
Yeah, like me.
like people that are vulnerable to cults.
Where it's like, okay, I could see how this is real. Like, there's enough facts there that's like, this is based in fact, but then there's enough mystery that it's like, ooh, this is exciting and mysterious. But there's not too much mystery where it's just like obviously fake, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a balance.
Yeah.
What would your cult be?
My cult? I've thought about this a whole lot. There's like four different ones I could choose from. I'm going to choose one that's not astronomy based because you chose that one.
That's fine.
So one of the other cults that I like the idea of is a gambling cult. Uh-huh. And the idea is that you get, like, a gang of gamblers together, okay, and you develop a gambling philosophy. Like, everything you do in your whole life is based off gambling.
Like, the chance and probability.
Yeah. So, like, when you... When, like, there would be phrases that you say in regular day life, like when I'm driving sometimes, I'll say, how about a green light, dealer? Like, come on. And the deity of this cult is like the dealer of life. He's like God, right?
And he's the dealer, yeah.
And the ethos is, uh-huh, if you follow, like, ethical gambling rules, then God, uh-huh, will favor you. Because he likes that. He sees, uh-huh, that you see his plan.
You're playing a fair game, kind of
thing. Yeah, you're playing, uh-huh, by the rules.
And you're not cheating or anything, yeah, like that.
And their afterlife, I've thought about this a whole lot. Uh-huh. Their afterlife philosophy is that because the likelihood of life is so small to have, mm-hmm, started, like if you think about like just being alive, the chances, sure, of that happening are, right, basically zero.
Very small.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Their philosophy is that because the like idea of being born is so small, uh-huh, that you must have existed forever. Like it's basic math.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you have
probability dictates that there's,
yeah, an afterlife. You just your whole life is gambling.
I like that. So you approach situations as a gambler, like a smart gambler, like,
yeah,
I don't want to take a chance on this because the odds are really bad, but I will take a chance on this because the odds are good, right? Is that, yeah, how you approach stuff?
Yeah, and I think you have get-togethers where you have, like, these crazy proposition bets that you give each other. Like, mm-hmm, I bet you won't go on a 30-day fast. And if you do it, you gain, like, yeah.
You gain a lot of clout in the group.
Yeah, you're constantly
and from the dealer.
Yeah, you're constantly trying to like embarrass and upstage your gang members to gain more clout with the group.
The funny thing about this cult is most cults like make your life worse. This cult, if you followed it, would probably make your life better because you're applying like math to real life, you know, like chances.
Or or you would just be eaten by the sharks in the group.
That's true. If you were clever, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You could be eaten. You could be taken advantage of. That's a cool cult. I like God as the dealer.
Yeah.
The dealer, the almighty dealer.
How about a green light dealer? I say that sometimes.
Does it work?
No.
Maybe one day, the one day it'll work, you'll be like, it is real, the cult. It is the thing. This is what we're doing. I knew it all along. Oh.
All right. Do you want to do our last trivia question and then finish off our listener questions?
I would love to do that.
Okay. This category is radio.
Radio. I'm going to choose 5 Second Google.
Okay. Your question is, a landowner did what to the transmitter of the Missouri radio station KXBR as part of a rent dispute? So a landowner did what to their transmitter?
Can I just really quickly go, hello, you're listening to KXBR Missouri. This is Tim Aces.
And this is Bat Snacks.
Sorry. All right, go ahead with the question.
It's okay. Is it A, buried it 6 feet under the ground?
Uh-huh.
Is it B, set it on fire? Is it C, painted obscene images on it?
I can see that too.
Or D, threw it in the Mississippi River?
Radio transmitter, right?
Yep.
So I don't know like what the makeup of the radio transmitter is, but I don't know if you could like detach it and bury it. Like that seems difficult. Same with throwing in the river. You'd have to like get it off the thing and throw it. I mean, that could be done. They could knock it down or something.
Yeah.
I feel like if they're going to go to the effort of knocking it down, they would just throw it in the river. Like they wouldn't bury it.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. If it were me, I would just paint it or set it on fire. Like those are the easiest ones, you know.
Yeah,
it's like boom, paint it or set it on fire. I just throw some gasoline on it and set it on fire. But I'm gonna use my 5 cent.
Okay,
so this is KXBR, right?
In Missouri.
KXBR Missouri. Okay, got it.
It was a rent dispute.
Got it. KXBR Missouri rent dispute. I'm ready.
Okay, ready. Uh-huh. 3, 2, 1, Google.
KXBR Missouri rent dispute. dispute. Oh, I spelled dispute wrong.
Time's
Missouri up. Landlord Tenant Law. Shit. This did not work.
Oh no.
Damn it. I dyslexic to this question. I put KXRB and not KXBR.
Oh no.
No. Oh no. So I just have the page I'm on. It's not giving me any information at all. I'm gonna go with my gut then. Which is set it on fire. Because that's what I would do if I was really... If I didn't care about getting in trouble with the law, I would set it on fire.
Yeah, all right.
I'm gonna go set it on fire for
that. That is incorrect.
Can I keep it down?
You can, yeah.
He painted it.
No, he buried it.
Really? The most effort thing.
He was really mad.
That seems like a lot of trouble to bury. To, like, take it down and then bury it. Like, if it was on a tower, he would have to climb up all the thing, then chop it off, climb back down, go to his yard, dig a hole 6 feet, bury it, and... You know what I mean? It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's too much. We were talking about a similar thing earlier that I'm not going to bring up, but, like, there are some people that I feel like they can do something really weird for a long time and not realize that they're doing something weird.
Yeah.
Like, the time it takes to dig a 6-foot hole, that's like a whole day, at least.
Yeah, and you would hopefully think halfway through, like, what the hell am I doing?
What is going on in my life that I'm digging this hole in my...
I think just people get in these, like... They get this in this frame of mind where it's like an obsessive thing and it's all they can think about, and they just block all the rational thought out of their heads. You know? Yeah. What I mean?
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It's insane. Speaking of getting in crazy moods, I just want to quickly bring up that I've been playing Tetris 99 a lot, which is a great game. You should buy it and play it. And I was obsessed with getting first place for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I could not do anything at all until I got first place. And I got first place like 2 days ago, so congrats.
Congratulations. That's actually really hard.
But I was in a mood where, like, I literally had to come home and play. Like, I could not do any... Like, it was like the guy and burying the thing. Like, even if someone would tell me, like, Chris, we have an emergency going on over here. Like, you need to stop doing what you're doing. I'm like, no, I can't. Like, I'm
I just can't.
You're yeah. Like, I'm in such a crazy mood that I cannot do this. I think you call it a fey mood.
Yeah. From Dwarf Fortress. We've talked about it on the show before. Like, fey moods in Dwarf Fortress are, like, you get struck with a mood, and you can only focus on one task. And if you don't complete it, you'll just go insane.
And like, I think that happens to me a lot. I'm like, I'm an obsessive person with stuff like that.
Yeah. It doesn't happen to me a lot, but it does happen to me. Yeah. Like, usually my way of finding, like, a new hobby or a new activity or something, like, the beginning of it is it's all I can do until I reach, like, whatever goal I've set for myself.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't happen to me a lot, but when it does happen, it's like, whoa, here we go. Like, it's something.
Yeah. And it's my goal one day to, like, make that task be something actually productive.
like, be something you can show and be like, look at this thing.
Or, like, make money or a living off of. Like, wouldn't that be something to, like, actually be so inspired by something that can support you?
You know what I bet wouldn't make you any money that you could obsess about is folding shirts like those Japanese people in the...
You're right.
That was a fey mood that struck you that does not grant anything from
nothing, from zero. It. I get nothing from that.
But yes, hopefully one day you'll find one that will actually be good, worthwhile in doing. Tetris 99 was not, but you know what? It was for my soul, if you will.
And I saw one of your tweets, like, one of my favorite tweets that you've tweeted recently was, I think you learned more about yourself playing Tetris 99 than you have any true. Video game.
It's can you true.
Can you describe that? Because that's interesting
yes.
to me.
Yes. So when you play video games, most of the time I'm kind of like, you know, you can not like you're kind of in this phase. It's similar to watching a movie. You kind of just are swept away in, you know, the process of it.
Yeah.
Tetris 99 was like a battle, right? It's uphill battle. Me trying to get first place. Because my, like, one goal was get first place. That was my only goal. And in the beginning, I was like, I'm not terrible at Tetris, but I'm not great. So, like, I'll do it. I'll play a lot. And I feel like for me, I get frustrated very easily when I'm trying to reach a goal, you know, and I've known that about myself for a while. And in Tetris 99, if I lose a lot, I get really frustrated and then I just do worse and worse and worse and worse, you know?
Yeah.
And what I learned about myself is that, like, even like, I feel like I always thought I wasn't a very persistent person and I'm just like, I'll give up easily, which is true to an extent. I will give up easily. But during the course of Tetris 99, it took me longer to get first place than anyone I know. Other people got first place in their first, like, 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
I played that game for, like, 40 hours before I got first place, okay? Mm-hmm. But what that tells me is I'm the most persistent person I've ever met, you know?
Yeah.
Other people would have given up long before I would have. But yeah. I didn't. I was like, no, I'm doing this. This is happening. It was probably not healthy for me to do. But I've accepted that this is just who I am. So in the future, when I'm given something that I, like, obsess about and must complete, I'm not the kind of person that can be like, oh, let me just turn that off and shut that down and, like, stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I stop doing it, I'm just going to obsess about it forever. I need to just push through. And even though it takes me way longer to get better at things than it does other people, I need to push through it and eventually achieve it. And then I'll, like, be, like, zen. I'll, like, reach, like, a moment where I'm just at peace. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool, actually.
But I feel like most modern advice is, like, oh, if you get frustrated, stop. And just don't do it anymore because it's unhealthy. But I tried to do that with Tetris 99. And guess what? I was, like, obsessed with it more. It didn't do anything. I just have to push through and reach that. And I feel like it takes me longer to do that than most people. But I, like, never give up with stuff like that. Like, ever.
I'm of, like, a really similar way. Like, my similar game with this was The Binding of Isaac.
Uh-huh.
And the way it is for me is if you have this really challenging task and you're working super hard on it, I get to a point where I'm so frustrated with myself that I know I can't make progress.
Yeah.
But the thing is
and that's what it felt like for me.
If I stop, I'm still not making progress. I'll actually probably be worse.
Yeah.
So it's better for me to just keep going, even though it's bad.
But there's this weird trough, like, in the middle of it, right? Where I'm just like, oh, I'm getting better at this game. I'm getting better at this game. And then I hit, like, a losing streak, right? And then I start thinking to myself, like, oh, man, I'm really shitty. Like, I suck. Like, I'm not getting better. I'm actually getting worse. Because, you know, you play so much, you get frustrated.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think normal advice would be, like, that's where you need to stop. Because you are getting worse. It's unhealthy to keep going. But I just got to keep pushing because eventually you'll get back up to the high and you'll get where you want to be. You just have to get through there. And that's the hard part. You know,
and that's actually maybe more logical. Like, if you do a task like Tetris 99, where you can't win every game, even if you're the best player in the world, there's a random element involved. Mm-hmm. And since there's a random element, every player of that game will encounter, like, a pit.
Yeah, every player.
And I just feel like get through it.
In issues like this, I encounter these pits much later than other people. I think other people probably win quicker and then they have the pit after they win. But I'm like, it takes me longer to, like, it takes me longer to improve skill than other people. So I'll reach this pit before I ever get the chance to win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, man, I'm never going to win. And then I just push through and I get it. You know what I mean? So, like, I learned that about myself playing that game.
And that's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's so cool.
It was like a psychological, philosophical experience. You know?
It's like, wow. That's awesome.
And, like, I learned that I take longer to do things than other people. But then I'm, like, way more persistent than most everyone I know. Because other people, I was looking at forums and people would be like, oh, I won quickly and I gave up. You know, I'm done. I got my victory and I left. Or other people be like, yeah, I hit level 15, I haven't won yet, so I'm going to stop playing the game completely. Guess what? Me, like, neither of those things happened to me. I was like, oh yeah, I hit level 40, haven't won a single game yet, but I'm still playing because, god damn it, I'm going to win. You know what I mean?
I'm going
to
get it.
I'm going to get it. And, like, yes, it takes me a lot longer to get there, but I'm getting there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's what I learned about myself.
Your journey was better, too, overall.
It was. It was very, when I won, oh man. that was a moment. I danced around my house for like 10 minutes.
That's great.
It was very good. Anyway, so that was that. I'm sorry for sidetracking, but
that's actually a really cool story.
Yeah. Anyway. Do we have more listener questions?
We do. So there's two more. Okay. First one is, what inanimate object would you obliterate from the face of the earth?
Ooh, that's tough. I don't think I have a good answer for this one.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
I'm going to... I don't know.
I think I would do something funny. Maybe...
Mount Rushmore. I'm just kidding.
That would be funny.
It would.
Yeah. Maybe something... Like, what is something I just don't like?
I don't know. You don't like a lot of things, but...
I don't like a lot of things.
I wouldn't destroy anything, you know.
It's obliterated. It's totally gone. There's no pain.
Oh, there's no pain. Oh, that's not that bad.
Nothing living. It's an inanimate object. I know. Yeah.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I can find... The problem is I can find some good in just about everything.
I definitely can't, but at the same time, there's nothing that I would, like, want to waste my inanimate object kill on.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably put it in my pocket and be like, one day I'll use
that. I was just about to say that.
You know what I mean, though?
Is that a valid answer? I think it is.
I think so. Because...
You know... Okay. I was going to say, you know, like, when you're playing an RPG game and you get, like, this super great item. You're like, I better not use it. I might need that later. And you never use it.
I might leave that for the last boss.
Yeah.
And then when you're on the last boss, I mean, I don't use it, but you should use it there. Because, you know.
You don't even need it. It's like...
Yeah. At that point, I never use it, though, because I'm like, this is the last boss. But maybe there'll be another boss after this. I don't know. So I better keep it. You never know.
Yeah.
But this would be useful for me, because if I pocketed the obliterate, right?
Mm-hmm.
At a random point in my life when I get really frustrated with something... I can just be like, pull that out and be like, bam! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Destroy it. And then that would just completely dissolve my frustration away. You know what I mean?
Instantly, yeah.
Instantly. It'll be like, this is great. Oh, I bet I know what I'd use it on, too. This would be really stupid, but I would use it on this. This sounded horrible. So I'm driving. I'm not killing anyone, don't worry.
Okay.
I pull into a parking garage, because I'm late for a meeting or dinner or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not late, but I'm, you know, not really on time. And I'm looking for a parking spot, and there are no parking spots anywhere, right? And there's this one car that kind of parked like a jackass and is taking up, like, two spots with his stupid car. Yeah. You know what I mean? Pull out the obliterate, just destroy it. You know what I mean? It's gone. And then I get a spot, and the next person that comes up has his own spot, too. You know?
And the jackass gets his car obliterated. Yeah. That's the best part.
It's like great. All these things are great. And it would make me feel so much better. I'd be like, because, you know, when you see that, you're like, the universe should smite this person. But
yeah.
I can do it right there. Boom. Bam. Pull it out. Yeah. That's what I'd probably end up using. Like, I'd pocket it, but that would happen to me. And then I'd be like, ah! And then I would obliterate it. And then there you go.
Yeah. I think the scene where you do it is like the final Goku Kamehameha attack where it's like,
yeah! Yeah, my hair like lights up. Yeah. Like, ah. Some old lady in the parking lot's watching and it's like, this is weird.
It's like lightning all over your body and your eyes turn white.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Do we have time for the final question? I don't know how complicated it is.
Final one. How important does a person have to be before they are considered assassinated rather than just murdered?
This is such a good question. This is a terrible question for the last question because I feel like we've talked about this for a while. So to be assassinated versus to just be murdered?
Yep.
Oh, that's tough. I feel like you have to be like a chairman of an organization or something like that, right? So like the leader of some kind of organization?
What do you think? Yeah, you have to have followers for sure.
Yeah, you have to have followers of some kind. Either you're the leader of a movement or you're the leader of an organization.
Yeah. I think for it to be considered assassinated, it has to be political in some way.
It doesn't necessarily.
Or, like, there has to be some kind of, like, special motive. I don't know how to describe
like,
that
special
case, though.
Like, I would say, like, if a CEO got murdered, like, as, like, if someone snipered a CEO, like, I would consider that an assassination.
Yeah.
You know. Now, if they got killed while they were getting mugged, that's just a murder. But, like, if some, like, rival company... You know what I mean? Not that this would happen. But, you know, like, if someone hired them to kill them, that's, I say that's an assassination.
Yeah, I do too.
You know what I mean? You know what? Actually, I don't know if it has anything to do with the power of the person. I think it might be if the reason you're murdering someone was to gain power in some way, then it's an assassination.
Okay. So let's say there's like a lowly follower of an organization. Mm-hmm. I don't want to name any because that would be messed up, but like a follower of maybe a religion or a company or something, sure. And they got killed because they were a member of that organization. Is that an assassination?
I would say that is an assassination.
I think it is, yeah.
Because you're trying to gain power. Like, a murder to me is more of a personal thing, right? It's like, I don't like this person, or I, like, this person wronged me, or something like that. Or it's like more in the moment, like I'm robbing a bank and I'm killing somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it's a murder. It's more emotional. Whereas an assassin is like, you have something to gain by killing this person.
Also, you're killing on behalf of someone else, usually.
Right, exactly.
Like, the assassin is usually doesn't have a stake in it.
Right, they're just doing it.
Other than maybe money.
Because the other person wants power, and they don't want to get their hands dirty, so they hire an assassin.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. It's a power move. If it's a power move, it's an assassination. If it's an emotional thing, then it's a murder. There you go.
Yes, that's a good answer.
You agree?
I agree with you. Yeah,
who's
totally.
Who's our sponsor today?
Our sponsor today is Hazeldine Cream Cheese.
When you're in the mood for something creamy and a little hazely,
choose Hazeldine.
Hazeldine, the delicious spread to make your. I don't want to rhyme that. All right. I hope you knew where I would go with that.
I do.
Remember when you're feeling like... when you're feeling sad...
Don't feel too bad.
Oh, there you go. Good night, everyone. Drive safe.
Good night.